Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now, faith is a word that you hear a lot in churches, but today I want to talk to you about living a life of faith. How do you do that? How do you know that you're walking in faith or not? Now, defining faith can be a tricky thing. I've seen many definitions of faith over the years. Some think it's just merely being positive, having a positive outlook, being optimistic about life. Others see faith as some level of believing where you believe so much you will never have another problem. Others think it must be about Faith Hill. They really don't know what it's about. We're going to look in detail this morning at a passage of Scripture that I think explains faith in a beautiful way, even though it never uses the word. This passage is a favorite of many Christians, including me. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. This is the kind of life we want to live every day, whether you are a brand new Christian or a seasoned veteran. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does it mean to trust? Anytime you trust someone or something, a four-letter word is involved. And it's not love, it's the word risk. You have to take a risk in order to trust. In fact, life is one big risk. Ecclesiastes 10, 8 and 9 kind of spells this out very well. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. Do anything in life and there's a risk involved. Just driving to church this morning was a risk. The biggest risks, though, are in relationships, because that person might leave you or betray you or die. Even relating to God is risky because He's a holy God, a consuming fire. But it is certainly worth it. Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." It is pure faith to love someone whom you have never seen. But many people play it safe by not putting their trust in the Lord. And Jesus spoke to that in Matthew 16:25. "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus says if you try to play it safe through life and never take a risk, you'll lose your life. And with God, in a relationship with God, you must take risk. So we trust the Bible and what it describes about God and what He's done for us. And we know He's such a good God. There's a scene in one of the Indiana Jones movies where Indy's trying to save his father and he's going through all these traps. And the last one, he comes to like the edge of a cliff, and he sees he's got to keep going, but there's a cliff there. And he knows he has to take one more step, and as he takes that one more step, a rock ledge appears on solid ground, and he continues walking. You know what? That's not that bad of a picture of faith. God says, take a step of faith into the unknown like Peter did, and you'll find yourself walking on water. You don't know what the next step is going to be, but you take it by faith and you find out that it's solid. Up to that point, though, it is scary because there's no guarantees, but because of your faith, you believe that it's going to be okay. And maybe right now this morning, you're facing something in your life and it seems like you're right on the edge of a cliff. Should I take that next step or not? Maybe it's putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the first time. Maybe it's beginning to tithe. Maybe it's stepping out and getting involved in a ministry that you've never done before. You can stay seated. You can play it safe and not take a risk. Let me give you a practical principle you can apply with this. It's called the 80-20 principle. Maybe you've heard that. Also known as the Pareto principle. Sociological term for, in most organizations, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Maybe you find that where you've worked. Let me change that around a little bit, use it a different way. Do the 80% in the Word of God that's crystal clear, and God will do the 20% for you that's unclear. The 80% is just the basics. Read the Word of God and pray. Love others. Be a person of integrity and character. The 20% is that part that's not so clear in your life. Where should I live? What should I do for a career? Who should I marry? And you trust God to reveal to you the 20%. You trust Him in those areas with all your heart. This protects us from making foolish risks, doing the stuff God doesn't want you to do. Like, maybe I should leave my family and go to Hollywood and be a singer. That's a bad risk. You get the 80% right and trust God with all your heart to take care of that 20%. Okay, let's talk about lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." I don't know if you've ever found you thought you were going the right way in life, and then you find it's a dead end. I remember before GPS, and I knew how to use a map, but every once in a while, the road was wrong, the map was wrong, or I was wrong, and I find myself being lost. And that happens in life. We think we're going around the right way, but then suddenly it blows up in our faces. I remember what Charles Kettering, who was the CEO of GM years ago, what he would do. When a difficult problem faced him, he would gather together the engineers, put a table in front of the conference room with a sign said, "Leave your calculators and slide rulers here." He wanted them to brainstorm. He didn't want any of them saying, "No, that can't be done. You see this? It won't work." And we could do that with God. A God-sized idea comes our way, and we immediately poo-poo it. We give all the reasons why this will never work, and we fail to take the risk. Look, God gave you a brain, and He wants you to use it, but He's also greater than your brain. There comes a time in life where you say, "I just got to trust God and not try to figure this out." Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." An example, Mark 10:43, "But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant." I don't know if that's what they teach in business schools or not, but probably not. But it's not the way I think, that if you want to be great, you make yourself less and be a servant to everyone. You see, that's God's way. It's a higher way than our way. So we say, "God, I just got to trust you in this part of my life." So faith is relying. Faith is relying on God. I lean on Him. So the case that if God moves, I fall. Haven't you done that exercise with a group of people before where a bunch of people stand behind you and you go like this and you just fall back? You trust them that they're not going to drop you, that they're going to hold you up. God's ways aren't always the ways that we would do it. I have to fall back into God's arms, trusting that I won't fall. So faith isn't having an optimistic personality. Pessimists are right sometimes, and optimists are sometimes wrong. While the optimist sees the glasses half full, and the pessimist sees the glasses half empty, the person of faith sees God is holding the glass. He's got it. No matter what happens in my life, I can trust God. Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." That's leaning on God no matter what. Let me illustrate it this way. Before I was a Christian, I had this bike, and I loved to ride my bike. I would ride it everywhere. Wherever I wanted to go, I'd ride my bike. Then I became a Christian, and I noticed that my bike now was a two-seater. I was in the front, and God was in the back. I led the way, but I was happy knowing that God was right back there, and He would help me out when I got in a jam. But later on in life, I started to realize this situation really isn't working that well. So now God's in the front of the bike, and I'm in the back. It's a lot scarier now, because God goes different routes than I would go. Sometimes, it seems like many times, much harder than I would choose to go. But it's never been boring. It's always scenic and adventurous. Sometimes I feel like I'm hanging on for dear life, but God reaches His hand back and touches my hand and says, "It's going to be okay. Just keep pedaling." I'm learning to not lean on my own understanding, but to put my faith and trust in Him. How do I practically do this? It's the 90-10 principle. An example of that is Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your labor, the tithe. Give the first 10% to God and He will make it up to you. In fact, many times you'll find out that you had more than if you had the original 100%. There was a guy in our first church that we pastored in Canton, Bob Beck. He once said to me, "You know, I always tithe and did well, but then I started feeling the bills were getting more, and so I thought I needed that 10% that I was giving to the Lord's work, so I kept it. And what I found was, it seemed like the bills kept getting bigger and bigger, and my ability to pay them got less and less. It was almost as if I had a hole in my pocket." Malachi 3:10. "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." But for many of us, this is where our slide rulers and calculators come out. How am I going to do this? 10%? I don't know why God said 10%. He could have said 50% or 90%. I find that 10% is a big enough challenge for my faith. So I'm learning to trust God with my finances. I'm learning in this big area of life that God will provide. He will take care of me. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways, not just the easy ones, not just the religious ones, but all your ways. So what does it mean to acknowledge God? How do I acknowledge a friend that comes into the room? Well, maybe I wave or say hello or make eye contact or stop what I'm doing. What if the president walked into the room you were in? I think you would stop what you're doing and you would probably stand up, showing honor. Here's how you acknowledge God when He comes into the room. You obey Him. You do what He says. Because He's God. He's always right. He's the creator of you. He knows what He's doing in your life. Proverbs 28:14. "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity." If I'm stubborn and disobedient, then it's not going to go well for me. Proverbs 29:1. "He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing." I remember when my boys were young, and Kathy and I asked them to do something, and they did it. Things went well for them. I was pleased. When they didn't, it didn't go so well. Now, our oldest son had a tendency that when we would tell him to do something, he was defiant sometimes, would say no. But then we would find that soon after that, he went around and did it. Whereas our younger son was always so compliant and would say yes, but then it's like he stalled or something. He just never got around to doing it. Now, this is when they were young, right? This is not how they are today. So don't think that. Sometimes we don't want to admit that we're wrong. Our pride gets in the way. We don't really want to obey. We've got to humble ourselves. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." It's not enough, folks, to come here to church and pray, be good on Sunday, as it were, and then on Monday live however you want to live. It's living a life of consistency. If you read something in the Bible, do it. Put it into practice. Obey. If you're stubborn and prideful, you will not grow in your faith. Don't just listen to what the teachers and preachers say. Do it. How do I obey? Exercise the 100% principle. I think God would rather us struggle giving Him 100% than really be successful at giving Him 50%. Oftentimes, there's this one area that we just keep hanging on to. God, you can have all these areas and things in my life, but this one area I'm not so sure about. And then that one area then winds up being a cancer in our life that continues to grow and just ruins our lives. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Do you have that one area, that one idol, that one thing that's kind of holding you back? Maybe it's finances or relationship or your thought life. Remember this principle, 100%. Give it all to God. All your ways. 100% of what you know. Now, there may be areas in your life that you're not aware of, and God will get to those in time. But what's He showing you to do right now? God will make it clear to you. As you walk in obedience to Him, you will have joy. He will make your paths straight. Obviously, the proverb writer did not live in Hanover County. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean a perfect life. It doesn't mean a problem-free life. But it means a life that works. Going from point A, you will arrive at point B and have peace. Not always perfect health. Not always a comfortable life. You may not be the most popular. Doesn't mean that you'll always be beautiful and thin, but you'll be contented. Listen to Proverbs 34:8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." That's a verse that takes a step of faith to believe. Will God really satisfy me? You have to answer that question. Because you may be thinking, what will I miss out on in life if I really go wholeheartedly into God? What will I have to give up if I'm a disciple of Jesus? But let me ask you to think about it another way. If I don't live a life of faith, what will I be giving up? What security, what adventure, what peace, what satisfaction, what rewards? If doing life my own way, doing my own thing, is that really going to satisfy me? Or will walking with Jesus really satisfy me? Well, I'm definitely not a perfect person living a perfect life, but I do have peace. And looking back, I think of the risks. A risk for me was going to college. I was a lousy student in high school. I think I graduated with a 2.4 GPA, right in the fat part of the curve. Wasn't showing off, wasn't falling behind, just average, mediocre. In fact, I didn't even go until I was 22, so that seemed like a risk for me. I didn't think it was much of a risk asking Kathy to marry me. It was a risk going to California for seminary, moving across the country. I had never been further west than the Mississippi River. or pastoring the three churches that God's called us to lead. I think, what would life have been like to say, no, that's too big of a risk to any one of those things? So for me, faith is expectation. I'm expecting God will lead me on the right path. Psalm 42:11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. I can hope in God because I know He will always act on my best. He will always do what benefits me the most. God has never let me down. It hasn't always been easy. But He's rescued me time and time again and affirmed that where I am is where I'm supposed to be over and over again. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. I can trust that. I can step into that. I know that's solid, that God will be faithful to me and my children and my children's children. So how do I experience God's faithfulness? How do I keep my expectation level up? Take it one day at a time. Or one problem at a time. Or one relationship at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is saying, all you've got to do is trust me for today. That's all the faith you need. You don't need the faith to trust me a month from now. Trust me today. So you're looking at your life and saying, today, what's going on in my life? My marriage is really rough right now. Expect Him to help you. Or maybe it's an issue with your kids or grandkids. Expect Him to help you. Maybe a big decision is coming up that you've got to make. You've got to take that risk, that step of faith. Expect that He will lead you and help you. Yeah, it may be scary, but then it's so exciting to see what God's going to do in your life. Expect Him to move on your behalf. I remember reading about a guy named Lloyd Scott who ran the London Marathon. 32,785 people began that race. He finished in 32,875th place, dead last. A 90-year-old grandma beat him. Here's the reason why he finished last. He ran the race dressed in a 130-pound 1940s deep-sea diving suit. His lead boots weighed 22 pounds. The copper helmet, you've seen those deep-sea divers, that copper helmet weighed 15 pounds. He had people walking and running alongside of him in case he toppled over. He couldn't get back up on his own. They had to pick him up. He started the race on April the 14th at 9:45 a.m. He finished it on April 19th at 6:15 p.m. The London Marathon actually had to change the rules of the race because of him. They say now you have to finish it within a day. He was the world's slowest marathon finisher. So why did he do this? He's a former cancer survivor, and he ran that race like that to raise money for others and raise awareness of cancer. He said, and he was quoted at the end of the race, somebody's going to be diagnosed with leukemia today and will think, if this nutty guy can run the marathon in a diver suit, then I can overcome cancer. How do you know God cares about you? He didn't put on a 1940s deep sea diving suit. He put on a human flesh suit. And He did it because He loves you. He died for your sin. And He rose from the dead, which is a lot harder than running a marathon. He rose from the dead to give you life. and he's working every day in your life, because the Bible says he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. You can trust one so much who did all that for you. So let me ask you this morning, what's your big next step of faith? What do you need to take to trust God in that area of your life? What's a way that you can obey God in that's kind of been a stumbling block area in your life? What do you expect that God is going to do for you? I'm going to close by reading Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 again, this time in the Message paraphrase. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Wherever you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this proverb. The wisdom of it is stunning, really, describing a life of faith. Lord, may we put it into practice as we do all of your word. And perhaps there's someone this morning that's never taken that first step of faith to really surrender their will, their life, their mind to you. So right now, while no one's looking around, if anyone here this morning would raise their hand and say, I need to make a profession of faith, a first-time commitment of my life to Jesus Christ, if that's you, if you're ready to make that step of faith, just raise your hand and put it down, and I'll pray for you. Does anyone here this morning need to make that profession of faith? Okay. Lord, I would pray for the one today that may be struggling in some area that they know they need to step out in faith and believe you, but haven't been able to do that. Will you give them that strength that you are right there with them? You're in them. You'll never leave them or forsake them. With you, all things are possible, Lord. Even the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.